Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is Thursday, February 13th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to MotoVitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotoVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. Love having you guys on live, though, so always appreciate that. I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we could help you with? Any questions you might have?
So I have a question for Paul in the Great North.
Yes, sir.
You had mentioned several weeks ago that the coffee, to brew coffee, really doesn't like reverse osmosis. It likes to have some TDS in there. But when I researched it, and Paul, you know what you're talking about. And so
my question is,
is that a technology? I know we don't talk about manufacturers, but is that a Culligan technology? Where it's purifying the water and you're putting a specific amount of TDS in there, or are y'all installing, we've installed some machines for Starbucks where they have their proprietary machine that purifies and then puts the exact back TDS that they're looking for to get consistency across the country. How do you achieve that?
I have a couple of different coffee shops in this area that actually many. We've probably got, 50 at least that we're servicing. They're all rental systems. One of them, they are extremely smart, and they have the ability to buy the filter that they need to add the TDS, and they blend it in with a little three-way bypass around it. And they're testing their water on a regular basis. They are really looking for a very, very finite, specific number for that best coffee. Other applications, we're adding a calcite filter to it, just similar to what they're doing, and using a blend valve on it. So like a three-way bypass going around it and cracking it open a bit and testing that water. And then most of them have a totally dissolved solid meter to where they can do those tests on site, say that the RO is now only rejecting 84% instead of the 95% that we're expecting it. They can then tweak that machine to exactly what they're looking for. Works really well.
Yeah.
And I think it's 40, 35 to 50 PPM on TDS is what the optimum number, I believe, is for the perfect cup of coffee.
So you're doing the reverse osmosis, but you're doing like an alkaline filter and then a three-way bypass to blend it to get to that number. That is really smart, Paul.
Well, thank you. My coffee shops around here are all using commercial RO systems. They are 500-gallon per day RO systems with a 65-gallon storage tank, repressurization systems, ultraviolet lights. If I had your email, I'd send you a picture of what one of our setups look like. We can do it in a two-foot by two-foot space when we use a rack from Uline, where you can put the tank over the top of the RO. The RO sits below it, and it holds the tank, it holds the weight, and it because they're lacking in space, it's so tricky to get the right piece of equipment in there. But these people are selling. I break it down to the ridiculous. This is what it's going to cost to make a cup of coffee, And if it's 2 cents because they're selling 1,000 or 1,500 cups a day, add a nickel to your product, you're making 3 cents on top of it.
Well, I'll send my email address to Kelly, and I'll get him to forward it to you. I would love to see that because that is a huge opportunity.
Yeah, there's business to be had out there for sure.
Actually, if you send it to me, Paul, I can definitely connect you guys. But if you send it to me, I can probably post it up in the description when I upload this to the this episode. If anybody else is curious, you can go and look on the description.
Got that C word all over it, just so you know.
Oh, that's fine.
Well, we'll put it in there. I mean, look, we're all in the same industry, right? So understood.
And this
so,
is how we help each other out, you know.
Yeah, it's that's right. I mean,
competition is your best source of revenue.
Well, absolutely. And the concept is solid. You know, I can tell you, I mean, it's so Scott. You know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but even when you buy like the espresso machines, it always talks about the amount of hardness or TDS that they recommend in the. You know, they always have a page or two in the manual because of that. There was somebody who spoke at convention a couple years ago on coffee, and it was eye-opening for me because I always thought, RO water, you know, that's what you want. But, no, you want a little bit of hardness in there. That's what it definitely makes. And that's exactly right when you talk about companies like Starbucks. It's why coffee on, you know, at Starbucks on the West Coast tastes the same as Starbucks on the East Coast because they know how to get their water. You know, it's the same, basically the same TDS, which keeps the coffee consistent, you know. But, yeah, it's an interesting. There's a lot more to it. I will tell you, you know, you got to be careful in some places. I've got a client in Minnesota that they were doing a system for a coffee shop that had they were a vegan coffee shop, and they even had to go so far as to make sure that the carbon filters as part of the reverse osmosis system were not. The crushed oyster shell carbon, you know, the crust. And so they had to use, I think it was coconut shell because the oyster shells did not, you know, so the carbon filters, we had to research that and make sure that the carbon that was in the pre and post filters on the RO were not oyster shell carbon. So, I mean, it can go a little further, you know, a little deeper depending on you know, what they're using. So it was kind of interesting how deep you can get into it, especially when you get into those specialty treatments. I love those, though. They make the industry. I mean, they, you know, that's what's so cool about this industry. We've said it before. It's just how much there's just so many different variables and scenarios. It never gets boring. I mean, you're just not doing, you know, every single customer, every single application is slightly different and an opportunity to learn something new. I love that about this industry, just how much it's never boring, you know. So it's a great question. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate that. Anybody else?
I'd like to share just a little something. I got a customer that's had equipment in since 2017, iron filtration softener tanning unit. It's been in place for about 2,737 days. He's had a couple of service calls over the years, and he gives me a 5 review and tells me it costs way too much. It should have been half that price. I have to respond to him, and he's complaining about his water in a totally different area as well, that his water was way too expensive in the different area that he was in. When I break this down, this guy's got problem water. And he had really good water since 2017. And, yes, there is going to be maintenance. I break this down, and I'm going to explain to the customer about this, and I'm going to be nice when I do it. 49 cents a day, sir, to provide you with great water. Break this stuff down to the ridiculous. When they start complaining, I've added up all of his service calls since 2017 until today, and it comes up to 49 cents a day.
Yeah,
to have great water,
and turn it off for 2 weeks and see if you don't miss it.
And there's going to be maintenance, and it was explained. Yeah. You have a water condition, you know, and it is your water. It is not my water. You know, I don't make the water. I'm like BASF. I make it better.
Yeah.
Right?
I wonder, you know, what's it cost to drive a car? If you looked at insurance and gas and all the maintenance. I wonder, you know, you could just in comparison, you know, it'd be kind of interesting to make those comparisons, you know, and do you drive the car every single day? Your water you use every day, you know, I don't know. I mean,
we
I don't
take
know
it
people,
for granted. Water is taken for granted and people just expect it to be perfect. And no matter what you do, that's why I'm in commercial industrial sales, guys, because if there's an issue, I can explain to them that there's an issue, and maybe it's not so heartfelt for them because it's not really coming out of their pocket unless I'm dealing with the owner. but something changed. We need to address this, and this is how we're going to do it. Residential,
you're right about breaking it down.
Problem
yeah.
for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No. I love that. I love. I mean, it's a good way to approach it, and we want to keep people happy. But you know, some people, I will tell you, I love what we do, and I love being able to help customers. And you are going to run into that, but there are some people who just, it doesn't matter. They're always going to find a reason to complain about stuff. I mean, there are some people in the world that are not happy unless they're miserable, you know, about something. So, and it kind of stinks, but, all right. Anybody else? So, I heard a couple people pop on here at the, and when we started, welcome, glad to have you. But I wanted to talk today about, you know, we talked a couple weeks ago about scripts and you know, kind of we had a good discussion about that. Thank you, Scott, for the topic idea. I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about how much detail we go into. So I've got a sales class coming in. We just did the virtual portion yesterday, and next week they'll be on site, and it's 3 days of intensive, you know, sales training. We're going to teach the class. Yes, this is a little shameless plug on the fact that we do sales training as well at the installer training facility. But we were going through, and you know, and I do like, I think it's important for salespeople to understand how equipment works, to understand the technical side of it. I really believe that makes us a professional. You know, there is a philosophy out there, a belief from some owners and managers that salespeople should only know the bare minimum, because if you start to tell them too much, they start to basically talk themselves out of a sale. They tend to go in too detailed and confuse the customer, and they start to talk too much, which is an argument for teaching them just the script or just the bare minimum, enough that they understand the benefits. They don't really need to go into the chemistry. And I kind of, in some ways, I mean, I'm a little resistant to that, but I understand it, because I'd love to say that I used to do that, but I think maybe I still do sometimes. I mean, I've learned to ask the question to the customer when I go in. I've learned to ask them, you know, how much of this stuff do you want to know? And sometimes they really do. They want to understand how it works. And then I have the ability to go in and really explain to them how it works. Sometimes when I ask that question, you know, I'll say, how much of this do you want to know? How much do you want to understand how they work? And they'll go, I don't really care. I just want it to work. Okay, great. Then I have the ability to, you know, to stay sort of top level and just, you know, explain to them the benefits, and that becomes a lot easier. But I'm curious to what you guys think. You know, what are your thoughts on that? You know, how much detail should a salesperson go into with the customer when they're talking about this stuff? How do you approach it? How do you determine with the customer how detailed you should get? Are you in the school that you know, that it's good for the salespeople to know it? I don't know who. I mean, Paul, you're as a manager. I'm interested in your thoughts, and Scott, I'm interested in your thoughts on this kind of from the sales perspective side. So, or anybody else that has that. I don't know if Michelle, if you're on, but I'd be interested in the consumer's perspective of this. You know, I just thought this would be kind of an interesting discussion. So, who wants to go first?
Well, I can tell you this. I can count on one hand how many sales I've talked myself into, but I need a calculator to tell you all the sales that I've talked myself out of. And you do need to know the specific information about the equipment and how it works and why it's technically better than the other guys. But less is always more. So we sell on the benefits of it. And then when you run into the engineer, the technical guy like that, then you answer their questions when they bring them up. I'm a firm believer that if somebody needs to have light in a room, they don't need to know how to make electricity to make a decision. But you do need to know the information for those specific technical customers that you come into.
Do you feel that knowing a lot of it, you know, I've had owners tell me they didn't want their salespeople to become WQA certified or to go into all of that because salespeople don't know how to, you know, once they have the knowledge, they want to give it and spread it and they want to tell it to everybody. As I said, I've been guilty of that myself a little in the past.
I'm the subject matter expert. Look how much I know. You got to be very careful to not show up and throw up.
Yeah. Paul, from a manager standpoint, do you think it's better that the salespeople know the information, and how do you counsel them not to give too much? You know, not to go in there and kind of, as Scott said, I mean, we look, it's human. We have a tendency to want to talk about how much we know. We want to show how much we know, and tell that. But what's your perspective on that? Do you want your salespeople knowing it, and how do you counsel them not to tell too much?
I want them to definitely know it. And I don't need them to get into extremely lengthy conversations when they're not necessary to have, as Scott referred to, when you have the engineer in the home. You become a chameleon in your environment, and you answer the questions that the customer is asking. I strongly urge my sales team to ensure that they are up to speed on all things drinking water. That's the thing that I think they need to know more about than the softening, and they all know softeners. My team they're pretty much veterans at this point in time, I'm believing nothing less than 6 years of experience in this, and some of them are 30-plus years of experience. When you start getting into the weeds, sometimes it's really hard, and I think this is what Scott was saying. It's hard to get out of them.
Yeah.
But they have to have the knowledge in case the question is posed. And when they don't have the knowledge, this is a conversation where they run into something that maybe they don't know. And for some reason, they all think that I'm the smartest guy in the building. I don't have all the answers, but I know where to find them.
Yeah.
And it's okay to be honest with the customer to state, you know what? Let me get back with you on that. Because I'd like to give you really good information and not just speak out of turn on something that I need to become a little bit more familiar with.
Absolutely.
Scott, how do you determine whether the customer wants more information or not?
They're going to ask you.
Do you ask them? Go ahead, Michelle. Yeah.
No, let Scott finish.
Yeah.
We sell on the features and the benefits of what the water's going to do. We educate the customers on the quality of the water in their area where they're at, to show them what the water's like. Then we do what the water would be like. And then when we get to equipment and we start talking about it, we do a brief overview of, this is what this is, and this is what this is, and this is what it does. This is what this is, this is what it does. And then do you have any questions? And if they do, and if they are those technical people, they're going to ask you. A lot of times, like as salespeople, we're guilty of letting the 10% rule the 90%. So just because I was in a house with a technical guy and he asked this question and where is it going to drain and what is it going to backwash and like how much salt does it use and what kind of resins it's got in there. That then you think the next person wants to know all that information, and you're trying to overcome objections on the front end, but you're really just muddying the water and putting too much information out there that they can't process a decision. You're making it sound way more technical than it actually is. The technical information, you have to know it, but you only use it when there is that specific question that has come up.
Yeah. It is like that. We've talked about the tools on the van, right? It's like you don't use it every tool on the van every time when you're a service tech, but you know how to use the tool when it's there. So it is along the same thing. Michelle, from a customer standpoint, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to speak from what I perceive a customer would want and also how a manager would want their salesperson. So I think it's a fine line between finesse and explaining what you need to explain, and then, like Scott said, answering the questions, and like Paul said, being a chameleon and knowing what you should explain to the customer, and then if they do ask questions, explain more. You want someone who's confident but not cocky, if I could use that word. You know, you want someone who is you feel is there, that's going to solve your problem and explain to you what you need to know to understand it. If you're a person who's not an engineer or not a techie in the water business, but you want to make sure that it's going to help you and do what you need. And you may not want to know the chemistry of it, but you'll want to know a certain amount so that you can feel that you understand what it's doing, so that you can, know that it's working and feel happy with it.
Yeah.
We also will fall back on, say that they're questioning, how do I know that this is really going to work? You're at a point in the conversation at the coffee table with them, and it kind of goes silent a little bit. In regards to that one, my sales guys will say, you know what, I need to run downstairs one more time to just take a couple more pictures of that install site. Gives the people in the room a little bit of time to discuss something. That has worked out very well to our advantage, and the discussion is had, and most of the time my guys are getting a signed agreement at that point in time. When is this equipment going to work, we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars through the international organization that we belong to that have NSF certifications on this equipment. And we have a little bit of handouts that we hand to the customer in regards to what is NSF, because it's very stringent. It's a good backer. You know, you don't have to get into the weeds on NSF or the different certifications that we hold, but give them a little information in regards to what you go through to get those types of certifications, and that this is definitely proven technology. We've been doing it for 87 years plus.
Yeah, I've done that too. You know, I've like had to run out to the truck to check something. You know, I've sometimes
right.
directly told the customers what I'm doing. Look, I know you guys want to probably talk about me. So if you would help, if I ran to the truck and returned a phone call really quick, and I've sometimes said that before, because they know, it's, if you have a good rapport and a good relationship with them, you can be pretty direct about what you're doing, give them an opportunity. And sometimes they'll say, nah, it's okay. Don't worry about it. We know what we want to do or whatever, but, yeah, sometimes they want to talk about how they're going to pay for it. You know, should we do it? You know, and they need to ask themselves that question without you there, because they're talking about their own personal finances or whatever, if they want to do that stuff. So, Elaine, are you by chance on? I know I was, sometimes you hop on and are quiet.
Yes, I'm on.
What's your thought? Thank you. I'm super glad because I was hoping that you'd kind of offer your perspective too on this. I mean, you guys have, you know, you've got a pretty. Some of your salespeople are newer, and but how much technical do you want them to know, or you know, and how do they determine how much to give?
So our company has, like, it's called Eco Water University, and so yeah. It's kind of like water dummies for, you know, water for dummies. And so we want them to know all of that because it's layman's language. And then Ken does all of the product knowledge. So we just want them to know enough to be educated about what we sell and how water works, but not too technical that we're boring them. So
we have
standards that they have to meet.
And so you're one of those companies that kind of you want it's kind of minimal, right? You don't want them to get super technical. Do you want them to know the super technical, or would you rather them, you know, just have a basic top line understanding, and when the customers want more, be able to get it from Ken or from, you know, somebody more technical?
Honestly, the most important thing that they need to know is financing, because that's what the customers are most interested in, is financing. We're pretty good on teaching them that. But yeah, they know enough. They know enough, but not too much. And they know that the manager can, or somebody's always available. Like, they'll say, you know what, that's a great question. Let me call my manager. And that's not a problem. Like, if it's problem water, wells, or something that they may not have a lot of familiarity with, we encourage them to call somebody. And that's okay. Yeah. We say, hey, I really don't know the answer to that, but I'm going to find out for you, you know, and so people are okay with that.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are, you know, but I don't know is not a bad response to a customer. It's better than just making something up, which unfortunately too many salespeople do. So I think I don't know is a perfectly fine answer, especially if you do know who to call, you know, so.
In a psychological sense, it almost makes it feel like you're getting a better answer because you're going to maybe an expert or, you know, saying, I'm not sure, but let me check with someone who has more experience in that particular water problem. And I think it actually builds a little more, trust or belief that, oh, I'm getting, you know, I'm getting a really good answer from someone else who's more experienced.
Yep. All right, last 2 minutes. Any final thoughts on this topic? I appreciate it. It's a good discussion, you guys. I think that will cover it then. So appreciate everybody showing up. Appreciate the feedback in the conversation. And I think we'll call it a day. So thank you very much, everybody. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Stay warm. We'll talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks very much, everybody.
I'll send some snow to everybody. You have ample
All right. All right. We'll see you guys.
Bye.